Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special ESPN.com podcast, Cheat Wave, the Past, Present, and Future of Cheating in Sports. This is ESPN.com senior writer Wayne Drays, joined by seven-time National League All-Star and two-time Most Valuable Player Dale Murphy. Since retiring in 1993, Murphy has started I Won't Cheat, a grassroots operation aimed at helping America's youth make the right choices when it comes to cheating and performance-enhancing drugs. Dale joins us today from his home in Utah. Dale, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Wayne. Thanks for having me on.
First things first, Dale, in your mind, define cheating as it pertains to sports.
Well, that's a good way to start, because people every once in a while say, well, Dale, what about stealing signs in baseball, you know, runner on second base and the runner looking in and stealing the sign, relaying it to the hitter. To me, that's not what I'm calling cheating. To me, that's really taking advantage of the team you're playing, really taking advantage of the fact that they're not thinking. To me, cheating is obviously anything spelled out in the rules. But now, obviously, I think the main focus is on the performance enhancing drug issue, which illegally and unethically, I guess those two would go together, obviously, alter their body chemistry so that they might be a better athlete. To me, that's probably the ultimate form of cheating.
Yeah, Dale, when you played, what examples of that did you see? I mean, it was first starting to come into game there in the late 80s and early 90s, right?
Yeah, well, you know, we all started wondering what was going on with a few of the guys. Is like they come back to spring training and obviously be bigger, more well-defined, and their offensive production would go up. You know, we just eventually, you know, find out that this is something that bodybuilders use and that guys were getting it, and it seemed to be, you know, relatively few guys, but you could tell something was going on.
Did it seem wrong to you then?
Well, yeah, that's why I decided not to do it. You know, guys would, you know, I remember teammates saying, Murph, you know, you're 6'5". I don't know what I weighed back then, probably between 215 and 220. And he said, you know what you could do if you weighed 230? And, you know, I just was like, you know, it's just, you know, to me, it was, as far as I understood the whole issue, first of all, illegal. And now, as I understand, there were actually some directives from the league. I'm not sure when they started. But, you know, it was never anything back then that we had meetings about that people said, you know, you can't do this. It might have been in a directive from the commissioner somewhere. But it wasn't talked about too much except for the few guys you could see that it happened to. And, you know, I just didn't sense that it was right, and most guys felt the same way. Yeah. It's just like, you know, I'm not going to do that. It's wrong. It's drug abuse, you know, and it's cheating, whatever you want to call it, to a degree that is just unacceptable.
When this was going on back then, did you ever see it sort of becoming what it did in the late 90s and, I guess, you know, early 2000s?
No, you know, then that was the problem. I think that we just didn't have the vision or the understanding of what the problems were going to be. And early on, when the subject of testing came up, you know, the Players Association advised us, which we thought was the right way to go, was that this is a personal rights issue. If this is the right phrase, you know, unlawful search and seizure, you know, submitting to a test when you haven't done anything wrong, theoretically. And we just made the wrong decision. I don't think we had any idea. We were naive, didn't realize human growth hormone, what that was. And it's really come back to hurt us as far as baseball is concerned and as far as youth athletics is concerned. And it's come back to hurt, obviously, a lot of professions. And testing is the norm now. And I know Major League Baseball is trying to develop a test for human growth hormone for the abuse of that.
Right. So when you see when you think of Barry Bonds breaking Hank Aaron's home run record, given the suspicions that surround him, how does it make you feel as a very popular player back in his day?
Well, I've been pretty indifferent to what Barry's doing, for obvious reasons. I feel that there's enough circumstantial evidence to me. Some people don't even call it circumstantial, but there's the preponderance of evidence for me that it is tainted. Barry just was going to be and is, I guess, you could say, one of the great players of the game. But he just, I don't know, he would have been a Hall of Fame player, multi-MVP without going this direction. And whatever his motives are, I don't know. Whatever anybody's motives are, it's wrong. It makes your statistics illegitimate. And so I've been very indifferent to it. A lot of people say, Barry's just, coming, being attacked unfairly and everything. And I've always felt you kind of always bring things on that you deserve. And that's what's happening with Barry.
I've been kind of surprised over the course of the last few days, the number of people who have come out to support him now that he's kind of hit this home run. And I was surprised by the reception he had in San Diego the other night. I really didn't think that people would, sort of support that as much as they did. I assume that they're probably cheering the moment more than they're cheering the actual, the actual accomplishment, if you will, if that makes sense. But let me ask you a little bit also about Mark McGwire, excuse me. I've read where you said that you don't believe Mark should be in the Hall of Fame because, in your opinion, he used steroids. Dale, using that line of thinking, there are probably a lot of players who shouldn't go to Cooperstown. How do you think the writers and the different people should sort of differentiate and evaluate this era in the game you love?
Well, I don't have the perfect answer or the perfect solution. I don't know if I can make decisions on everybody, but if I was a voter, I would do my best to make a personal decision. I think I don't want to put words in Brooks Robinson's mouth, but as I recall, he said, "I got my suspicions." that's what I think, and as one of the veterans, maybe he'll vote what he thinks. I mean, obviously, we don't have proof. Where our society, we're built on the foundation of, innocent until proven guilty. But to me, this is not a court of law. If I was a voter, I would look at a guy. I would scrutinize him. I know some people are afraid of scrutinizing appearance as well, but that would probably enter into my thinking. And my feelings on Mark are, basically from his testimony, he wouldn't address it, doesn't talk about it. I'm almost to the point to where if Mark would admit it, what we all know, I would probably vote for him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the crazy thing about this whole issue is players are getting advice and thinking about this thing in the wrong way. We need some help to stop this. And my respect for the players that have done it in the past would go up immeasurably if they would come forward and talk about it and speak about it.
They'd be heroes.
Well, exactly.
In a very strange way,
exactly.
Someone who would come out and say, I did this, the pressure got to me, it was too much, I couldn't take it, and, whatever their explanation is, we are a country, we forgive people, we build them up and we tear them down and we forgive them just as easily, and they can sit down with Barbara Walters, whoever it is, and explain themselves and apologize, and all is again well with the world. And I'm kind of waiting for someone to step up and sort of, while they're still playing in a certain way, and admit what they've done, and sort of kind of be the face for turning this around. You look at Ken Caminiti. By the time Ken decided to speak up, in his case, it was too late. It's challenging.
Well,
let me ask you a little bit.
No question, but I totally agree with you. I'm not really interested in who took him in the past 15 years.
Right.
I want to stop it.
Yeah.
we got to turn the tide, and that's why I'm not too excited about finding out and investigating how it started. I would call these guys in and say, I don't know if, you know, as far as baseball is concerned, some kind of immunity. I'd talk to law enforcement and say, look, we need the truth here. We're not getting it. And try to convince these guys that they could really help stop this problem. That's what I'm more concerned about. I don't want to sit around and point fingers and find out that 10 years ago so-and-so did it. It doesn't help us solve the problem.
Well, the reality is, while we're sitting around trying to figure out who did it 10 years ago, the cheaters of the world are four drugs ahead of us, and we don't know what to stop or what to catch now regardless.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with you.
Let's talk specifically about your role with I Won't Cheat, and you know, I want to ask you how and why you feel that this can sort of help put integrity back into the game.
Well, I think we need to start with the young athletes, and you know, it's pretty obvious to them. For instance, I spoke to a high school today. I said, you know, what's your perception of baseball? And their perception is that, whether it's true or not, that obviously it is true in some situations, that you need to do something different to play at the highest level. You need to use performance enhancing drugs. That's the perception. You know, most guys are not using performance enhancing drugs, and I try to tell them that. And also the idea here is to challenge the kids on an ethical basis that, you know, this stuff's going to be available. You're going to have to make a decision. It may be two clicks on the mouse away from being on your doorstep. I don't know. But my message is it's wrong. It's going to catch up to you, and that it's not you that is garnering this success. And that there's options. That there are options. We talk to trainers. The trainers are very frustrated, athletic trainers, that are not able to get their message out enough, that there are legitimate ways to train as a high school athlete, even with metabolism through the roof, to gain weight, to get muscle, and to get stronger, and to get faster. You know, that's what these kids want to do. We got to get the message out, one, that it's wrong to take performance-enhancing drugs, and two, that you have options. And, you know, possibly in the future with the growth of the I Won't Cheat Foundation is we'll be able to identify in each state, in each community, trainers that you know, pass a kind of have a good housekeeping seal of approval. They'll have a I Won't Cheat seal of approval that this is a trainer that you can feel safe is going to teach your kids the right thing. It's just, that's the goal. And, some people say, well, is it kind of like just say no? And I said, yeah, it's kind of like that. I heard some studies last week. What's happening, interestingly enough, with the I Won't Cheat Foundation is, as we talk to people and get feedback, is it's going to enter in not only to the athletic field but into the academics. 30,000 kids, high school kids, were polled. I heard this on the Bill O'Reilly show the other day. High school kids, you know, how many of them cheated in class? I can't remember the exact number, but the number of football players that cheated was around 70%.
72, I think. It's the same study I'm thinking
okay,
of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're not only talking about athletically, we're talking about a culture of cheating that is just acceptable over the years, and it's gotten worse. And that's exactly what happened with steroids in baseball, for instance, is, you know, it's like guys are looking around and say, well, you know, I guess he's doing it. No one's saying anything.
Right.
And we're not testing. I might as well do it. And we got to change the culture of the young athlete with the help of the athletes at the professional level,
right,
to send a message that you don't have to do this. It's wrong, and it's going to catch up with you. So that's our goal.
Well, Dale, let me play devil's advocate for you. How do you tell a kid who perhaps, you know, he or she might come from a lower-income family, and they see that pill or that shot in the butt, as Gary Sheffield calls it, as their ticket to maybe a D1 scholarship and maybe a professional sports contract or an Olympic medal or something that would help better their life and get them out of a difficult situation. Now, how do you convince you know, a kid in that position that this is a bad idea?
Yeah, well, that's the challenge, and that it's available, and that you probably won't get caught. I mean, how do you battle that? Well, this is just what you do, is you talk to them, tell them that, you know, I didn't use it, most guys aren't using it, you can do it. You need coaches and parents to have a relationship with the kids. Say, look, I know it's available, but I want to give you some counsel here and look you in the eye. We need more high school coaches sitting down with their kids individually and just saying, look, this is wrong. You need an element of trust. I mean, I understand the problems with the temptation. I can't tell them and explain to them, except I can talk about, I mean, I understand the monetary incentive, but we talk about the health issues. I mean, you know, you get married in 5-6 years and you can't have kids, for example. Are you going to tell your wife, well, you know, I wanted to make a Division I scholarship, so,
right, right.
You know, I mean, there's health issues, there's ethical issues. We need kids to bind together and have a peer group of influence that, you know, we're not going to go this direction. I mean, that is exactly the problem. But I'll tell you what else, we need help.
Right.
What we need help in is for the professional leagues, college leagues, high school organizations to have a zero tolerance policy. The one thing that will keep a kid from doing this and from someone in the major leagues from doing this is to know that if they get caught, their career will be over.
Mayfie Perez would have been done about 3 careers ago.
What's that?
I said Mayfie Perez would have been done about 3 careers ago.
I mean, you know, it's a perfect example. Where is the disincentive for him? I mean, if he knew, and everybody knew, that you tested positive, you'd have your appeal process, et cetera, but that it was over, then you would make a dent. And right now, high school kids, this is where I need help. We need help, parents and coaches of young athletes, is for these kids to say, wow, look at that. Nephew Perez's career's over.
Yeah.
That makes an impact. And I know that maybe doesn't address the problem now, but we as an organization, as I Won't Cheat organization, as we grow and get a chance to speak to lawmakers, let's say lawmakers in Texas and New Jersey, which I believe has testing, if you don't have a zero tolerance policy for that negative test, and that you're done with your high school career, you're still going to have guys try it. We need to make the disincentive, that's a word, you know, greater, because the incentive to try it right now is greater than the punishment. It is a monetary thing, and I understand that. What we're fighting.
You were a big union guy when you were playing. Do you see the union ever approving something like that?
I do.
Really?
I do. I think it's very possible, and I think if I could get player reps in a room, I would love to see, you know, what is your defense?
What would you tell them if you could get out of the player reps in a room right now and talk to them? What would you say? How would you convince them that this would be the move to make?
Well, first of all, I'd go back with a little history and say, you know, I was there. I was, you know, I voted to, you know, as a player, I was only player rep for a year or so, but when these issues started coming out, I understood. I first of all understood the problems with testing, but we made a mistake, and they have made some strides. They have accepted testing, and I would congratulate them for that. But then I would talk to them about the fact that they are continually competing and have to compete. Number one, they have to compete against guys that are out there using performance-enhancing drugs, not only steroids, but human growth hormone or amphetamines, et cetera.
Right.
How long do you want to do that? Number two, the perception of baseball is that this is what you have to do and that you're going to turn into professional wrestling. I mean, the perception is that most of you guys are using steroids. Do you like that perception? Number three, you're protecting cheaters, and with the integrity of the game. And the Barry Bonds issue is a huge integrity of the game issue.
Right.
And you have accepted since day one, at least we've never fought it, the gambling rule that if you're your career is over if you're found gambling on baseball, because it's a integrity of the game issue. You know, that is, it's doable. You do it now. Very few guys gamble on baseball because of that rule. A lot of guys are even careful because of their gambling habits.
Right.
They don't even want to associate with people. Well, we need to, you have the key, I would tell these players, you have the key to change the culture of your game, in that when these guys go to a gym now and they see a guy that's a little shady, they're going to get away from him, because if they get associated with steroid distributors, or, you know, if your name comes up on something and you look like a customer of human growth hormone and your career is over, guys are going to run from that. The culture needs to change, and I would plead with the player reps that they have the key. And number four, I think I'm on number four, what a PR thing for these guys to do. The public would say, wow, baseball is serious. And you know what? It's the players that are serious. They're not kicking and screaming to try to, you know, into Congress. They're being proactive, and the players hold the key. And I would like to hear the argument for the punishments, which are so weak right now.
Right.
Why, you know, give me the rational reason of why you're doing this. It encourages, in fact, right now I would argue that the system encourages guys to try it, because the benefit, like you pointed out earlier, the benefit right now outweighs punishment.
I mean, absolutely.
You know, number one, if I get caught, well, we know it's not that difficult to beat steroid testing. It's just, you know, I've heard a trainer say you basically got to be an idiot not to pass.
Right.
And so I would argue with these players that they've actually set up a situation in the basic agreement that encourages guys to try it because of the incentive of passing the test and making the money.
Yeah.
And so that's where I would start, and then hopefully a dialogue would start after that.
Joe, this has been great. I want to ask you one last question before we let you go, and it's probably one of the most challenging questions I want to ask you. But I read a great column in the Washington Post last week where Sally Jenkins was suggesting that, you know what, maybe it's time that we just kind of throw our arms up and say, you know, we're not going to catch them, we're not going to beat them, so why don't we just let it happen? Why don't we let them take performance-enhancing drugs? Why don't we monitor their steroid and their human growth hormone usage? And why don't we just admit sort of once and for all that, you know, integrity and ethics and sports just maybe don't go together anymore? I want to hear your absolute best argument against giving up.
Well, these are controlled substances for good reason. I mean, what are we going to do? Monitor the increase of testosterone 1,000% in a kid? I mean, you know, these are controlled substances, human growth hormone, steroids. They have legitimate uses, but to say that we are going to sanction the increase of these chemicals, for lack of a better term, I don't understand the whole term, but we're going to just boost this up until we which we will do harm. We know that the abuse of these drugs cause harm in so many ways that it just doesn't. I can't comprehend that would ever be a logical thing to do. I believe that there are ways to stop it. We're just not doing it.
Right.
And and then I would say, well, that's really interesting, except that this is not, to me, the argument. Obviously, I have arguments about professional athletes, but what about our kids? I mean,
yeah.
what answer? You give up, what are we telling our kids? Again, illegal prescriptions for abuse of human growth hormone, going to Mexico or wherever you have to go to get steroids, go to the gym if you want to. I read an article a couple months ago, I think it was an Outside magazine, about a guy who said, okay, I'm going to go down to the gym, see if I can get this stuff. The guy had cattle hormones, pills of cattle hormone in a couple days. I mean, We can't give up. It's a drug abuse issue. We may have other drugs that are being abused to a greater, I mean, we know that, but this is part of it, and to give up on this, to me, is like saying, well, let's just not have ethics panels in Congress. You know, why have any rules as far as your financial advisor is concerned? I mean, again, he's just trying to get a competitive edge.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand the frustration, but we just can't give up. We cannot give up. I think we can restore the integrity of sports. I really believe that. I really believe that. And we just got to do it. We just got to get serious about it. The Tour of France, I thought it was a great idea. Pledge that you're not going to do it if you get caught. I think you're out for a year, or you suspend your earnings for a year. Hey, how about you pledge you're not going to do it, and you get caught, and you're done cycling?
How about those guys that signed that pledge before the race, and they still had a disaster of a race?
Well, I think obviously the Tour de France is a perfect example of the culture.
Yeah.
We can change the culture. We've done it with smoking.
Yeah.
To a great extent, we've done it. It's unacceptable, you know, in certain situations. And I think we could do that with alcohol. I think some sporting events, the culture is sometimes to get drunk at these sporting events. It's no fun. It doesn't make it any fun for the people sitting next to you. I think we can change the culture there, and I think we can change the culture in athletics. I spoke to a high school this morning, and I don't want to ask them, hey, how many guys, you know, you think on your team are taking them, but I asked them for a show of hands, do you think you've competed against guys last year in football that were using steroids? And some of the hands didn't go up because this is their first year on varsity.
Right.
But everybody else's hand went up.
In fact,
they all yelled out the name of a high school.
Well, Dale, listen, I want to thank you. I commend the work that you're doing with the I Won't Cheat Foundation. And for people who want more information, they can go to www.iwontcheat.com, correct?
That's right. And thanks, Wayne. I want to say, you know, to you, to ESPN, to really the media in general, the power is there. I mean, I believe that a lot of this culture can be created and changed by through journalism and through media. And so I appreciate it because that sends a message to kids. I mean, that starts the talking, that starts the dialogue. That's what we need to do.
One of the most interesting things about this package, Dale, real quickly, is we ran a survey a couple weeks ago leading up to it, and we asked our readers very simply, you know, given the Barry Bonds home run chase, given the Tim Donaghy saga, given the Tour de France, do you feel that performance-enhancing drugs and integrity will be able to be restored in sports? Are you confident that sports can sort of, you know, get through this this sort of ugly period and sort of return to its glory, if you will? And about 19% of the people said yes, that they had a confidence that sports would someday, you know, be clean and truthful and all of these things. So there is a concern out there, and hopefully conversations like the one we've had can help raise awareness and help, you know, raise an interest in turning this around. So, Dale, I thank you very much.
Well, great. Thank you, Wayne. Great. Appreciate the conversation.
Excellent.